It is 7:34 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Kat Brooks. Maria Isabel Boiso was diagnosed with a rare and debilitating genetic disease while still living in her home country of Guatemala. At the age of 7, she was invited to the United States to take part in a clinical test. That test turned into treatments that saved her life. She's now 24 years old and has been in the United States for 16 years under what is called a medical deferral for removal. But in August, she was told that she had 33 days to leave the country. This sparked intense outcry from community, so intense that the Trump administration said it would consider reversing its policy. And on Monday, it said it would temporarily hold off on ending the medical deferral program. Yesterday, Maria Isabel Boiso testified before Congress.
So this is the House Oversight Subcommittee on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. And we want to play you a little bit of tape of Isabel describing the moment she got that letter from the U.S. government saying her status was coming to an end. She was just coming out of a treatment.
Our lawyer called my mom saying that he received the letter for 4 members. So my mom, my dad, my oldest sister, myself, saying that policy changed and you have 33 days to live without no notification, nothing.
How did your mother react?
She cried. She cried with me. We were like on the floor. Yeah. We were just shocked. Because, like I mentioned before, I've been here legally for 16 years. And this is the first time that this happened to me and my family. So we both cried tears. I was shaking to the point that my mom thought that I was going to go to the ER. Because I just lose it, honestly.
Isabel Boiso describing how she was crying so hard she thought she might need medical care. Probably the most revealing questioning from yesterday's hearing was when the members of that subcommittee and even the Republicans, most of them sounded appalled, were questioning representatives of the U.S. government about what, since Monday's partial and confusing reversal, the actual policy is right now. And there were like 10 different versions of this line of questioning, all of which wound up at pretty much the same place, which is we can't tell you. Here is Subcommittee Chair Jamie Raskin from Maryland questioning Daniel Renaud. He is Associate Director of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Field Operations Directorate.
Can you tell us why we have the new policy of rejecting the medical deferred action requests?
No, because of the pending lawsuit and at the advice of counsel, I'm not.
Okay. Can you tell me who ordered the policy?
I cannot.
Can you tell me where the policy came from?
For the same reason, I cannot.
Can you tell me when the policy was developed or when it will be finalized?
No, sir.
And can you tell me what the policy is?
Because of the pending litigation, I'm not able to share that information.
That is the state of oversight between our legislative and executive branches when it comes to this issue.
There has been much community outcry and organizing around this issue. Some of that led by the California Nursing Association. We are joined this morning by Martha Cole with Cal Nurses. Martha is a registered nurse. She worked at Children's Hospital Oakland for over 37 years, and she is on the California Nursing Association Board of Directors. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you talk about, just even from a nurse's perspective, about the inhumanity of this and what going home would mean for Isabel?
Yes, this is very appalling to me. Just as a nurse, it's our calling and our duty to advocate for our patients to get the care they need. And we strive all the time to provide every patient with a single standard, a high standard of care, regardless of their race, creed, gender, immigration status, nationality, or their ability to pay. And I take care of children at Children's Hospital Oakland, and I can't imagine a parent or a child or a young woman like Isabel to face notice that within 30 days they would be deported automatically without recourse and would no longer receive the health care they needed to stay alive. It's heartbreaking. It's immoral. It shouldn't happen.
She was still receiving treatments at Children's Hospital, correct?
Oh, yes. She's been receiving treatments there for many years. As you stated, it's about 16 years, I think. She gets the treatments weekly. It's an infusion that she needs of a specific drug that prevents her disease worsening, and it has helped her live a great life. She's a wonderful young woman. Than all of the nurses who know her, she has seen her grow up and become a leader in the Bay Area. She's an activist for disability and immigration rights. She has stated at the rally we had the other day that this is not just about her. This is about all people who need health care, who are in this program. None of them should be deported.
If she were to be deported, what would her life expectancy be?
No one can ever really predict that kind of thing. But without the weekly infusions that she needs, her life would be much shortened, and it's predicted by the doctors that she would die rather soon. The treatment isn't available in Guatemala, where she lived before she came to the United States. We actually requested her. The doctors involved in the clinical trial actually were looking for patients with this rare disorder so that they could develop a treatment. And she has participated in that all her young life. She has contributed to the science of healthcare. And so this seems particularly unjust.
Martha, I'm sure that Maria Isabel Boisa isn't the first patient that you've had that's dealing with immigration issues under the Trump administration. What are some other ways in which immigration policies have impacted the ability to provide people with quality health care from your position, your purview as a practitioner?
When Trump became president and was and there was a lot of fear around immigration status and more fear amongst the community of immigrants, undocumented immigrants. Seeking care people were less likely to seek the care they needed. And I've seen a little bit of a downturn for a while around people seeking care. People are fearful. They might delay treatment. And in the case where I take care of kids with serious diseases, if their parents delay treatment, it could mean worse outcomes for them, or they end up in the emergency room rather than in a doctor's office. It's healthcare should be a human right regardless. And we should live in a kind society where we take care of each other.
And our hospitals, you know, sanctuary places. I mean, if someone does go for treatment and I don't even know if you ask for paperwork, but hospitals don't then turn around and call ICE, correct?
No. And Children's Hospital Oakland, in particular, has a long history of providing care to all patients, regardless of their ability to pay, their status. They work very well. Social workers, doctors, nurses, other healthcare workers work very well with a broad variety of a very diverse patient population from all over the Bay Area and Northern California, and no one is turned away.
So the Trump administration says it's walked back this reversal for now. From what you understand, what does that mean for Maria Isabel Boisa and patients like her in terms of timeline or whether or not they're going to get to stay or what?
I think it's particularly unclear for each person. It's my understanding in the program, you have to apply every couple of years for another deferral. And as stated in the beginning, the people who are in charge of sending out the letters that notice people they were no longer deferred aren't telling people clearly what's going on. So although there's a temporary stay, who knows what's going to happen in the near future? So it must be incredibly difficult for patients and family to be in that worrisome situation. You need care, your child needs care, and you need to know that it's safe to go get it.
Martha Cole, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Martha Cole is a registered nurse. She works at Children's Hospital Oakland. She's been there for over 37 years, and she is on the California Nursing Association, CNA, Board of Directors. CNA has been particularly active in this case. They held a rally for Isabel Boisso last week.
I got to say, watching the House Oversight hearing yesterday, this is really strange. I mean, this medical deferred action policy does not extend to very many people. Like, across the entire country, it's somewhere on the order of 2,000 people. And when this became public, specifically when Isabel Boisso's case became public, they walked it back quickly. They walked it back in a way that's confusing and probably most revealing to me. A lot of Republicans on the Oversight Committee used the specific language, this was a mistake. Now, if that's a mistake, the question mark I'm left with was, like, what did the Trump administration actually mean to do?
I mean, clearly, I'm not in the Trump administration, but my assumption, like, you know, I always think, look at stuff like this through my communications director hat, right? And somebody in your organization does something stupid, and your comms director, that looks bad, right? It may not be that you disagree with the policy, but it looks bad, and it harms other arguments you're trying to make. And certainly, this young woman, right?
Graduated summa cum laude, right, from her class.
Right, that you're literally sending back to her country to die looks bad. And so I imagine there's trying to do cleanup because it looks bad, right? You can't paint Maria Isabel Boisso as a rapist or a terrorist or a criminal, right? Like, she then becomes the poster child for just immigration policy, which is exactly the last thing that what did Nana call him 44 and a half needs, mm-hmm, right now as he's building his bid for reelection.
I mean, the only thing I can think of, and again, like, you can compare this to the third country issue that the Supreme Court just cleared the way for the rule to go in effect pending litigation. This is going to affect a massive number of people from all countries passing through Mexico on their way to the U.S. southern border, right? If you have a white nationalist agenda, which members of the Trump administration, many members of the Trump administration do, and you are trying to reduce the number of foreign people coming into this country, that is a policy you would prioritize. 2,000 sick people here on medical deferred action to get life-saving treatment. I mean, the only thing I could fathom is that there is someone in the Trump administration whose job it is to go down the books and say, where are all the places that we have the discretionary power to kick people out? Doesn't matter how few, doesn't matter how sympathetic they are, let's just go for it.
Because it adds to their numbers and their bravado about kicking people out of the country?
I don't know. That's the story I want to read. I mean, I hope some Washington reporter is trying to figure out who in the Trump administration is figuring out, like, what bureaucratic levers to pull on with immigration policy. Because the actual bureaucrats in that hearing sounded more uncomfortable than almost anyone I've ever heard testifying to Congress before.
There's so many questions that I want to ask you about the hearing, but I feel like you're going to say they just said they don't know.
They just said, no, they didn't say they don't know.
No, they can't tell you.
They said, I can't tell you.
Because of pending litigation.
Yeah.
And is this the litigation on behalf of Maria Isabel Boisso?
Yes, and I believe the class of people who are protected by the medical deferred action policy.
It's absolutely terrifying that this is happening. The other thing that I thought was bizarre is as we were trying to, which also makes me really glad that we're doing this story, was that as we were trying to secure guests for this story, a lot of people still don't know that this is happening.
Right.
Which is sort of mind-boggling to me due to how egregious it is of a case and the fact that it happened here in the Bay Area where we are, you know, movement central.